Welcome to Binge-topia. We hope you enjoy your stay.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Binge-topia.
Hello, and welcome back.
I'm Julia Hava.
I'm Eliza McLam.
If you want to support the podcast on Patreon, we're there at patreon.com/binge-topia, where you can get bonus episodes and live streams and reading lists and more.
And if you want to support the podcast for free, you can leave us a little review, Apple Podcasts, and just click the 5 stars. If you don't want to write anything, that's fine. The stars will be perfect. And if you do, please write something kind for us.
And if you want to get merch, that is at propfront.com/binge-topia.
Yay.
Now we have a new method of recording, and I really hope it works because, as our binchies know, last time we tried to record, our computer betrayed us.
It was really sad and very heinous. Our episode got deleted by God. We had to rehash old bits. It was just not quite the same.
So now we have a new system. We have just like this little box, mm-hmm. and she's recording for us.
She's really magical. We are also in a new location. You might hear the tranquil trickle of a fountain behind us.
Yeah.
And that's just part of the ambiance. We're at Julia's aunt's house.
Yeah.
On a little balcony, and the sun has just set, and we had a beautiful sunset. So just, you know, putting you here in this environment with us, we're very happy to have you here.
Yeah, putting you in this environment. And for those who have been with Binge-topia since the beginning, this is going to be an old sort of Binge-topia episode because we have not planned it.
We're bringing it back to the basics. You know what? It's holiday season. We have family in town. People are traveling.
Yeah.
Lots of things happening. I had like 2 shows. And we're just going to chat with you guys today.
Yeah. And Eliza got a tattoo.
I did. I just came. I'm addicted, unfortunately.
You've been getting so many tattoos recently.
I know. But I found a tattoo artist who I love, M at Proud of You LA, at $1 Tattoos on Instagram. And now we're just like friends. And they like wanted to practice text. And I was like, well, good thing I have text. I've been wanting to get on me since I was 16. And they gave it to me for free because they're like, they've never done text before.
Love.
Yeah, so befriend your tattoo artist and then you can get free tattoos and also great conversation.
Tell us about your new tattoos.
Okay, so actually this is funny because then we'll be able to tell your story about the perfume, but my tattoo is from a song called Gypsy by Fleetwood Mac.
A banger.
I know we don't use that word anymore, but the song still bangs. But anyway, one of the lyrics in there is, I have no fear, I have only love. And ever since I heard that song when I was like 15 or 16 years old, I was like, facts. And I've always wanted to get that. And I've always wanted to get tattoos right above my knee because I think they look badass. So I got no fear over my right knee, and only love over my left. And it looks fantastic. And M did a fantastic job.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
My story about the word gypsy is that I went to a perfume store. There's a bunch of locations in LA, or maybe there's two, but it's called Perfume Lab, I believe, or maybe it's Perfume Bar, but they have a bunch of perfumes and they let you take home like 2 little like samples.
We love
a freebie. You don't even have to buy anything, which I love.
Yeah.
And they recommended this one to me from Byredo called Gypsy Water. And I was like, oh, this smells really good. I like it. Kind of a problematic name.
Right.
But then I looked up the name and it was like, clearly they had like their PR team like do something. I'll read you the description of it because it's like, okay, so here's the description for the perfume Gypsy Water. Gypsy Water is an ode to the beauty of Romani culture. Well, if it was, then you wouldn't use the word gypsy. So its unique customs, intimate beliefs, and distinguished way of living, the scent wakens a dream of a colorful lifestyle made of innate nomadism. Woody notes of pine needle and sandalwood associated to intense amber and fresh citrus evoke the fever of gypsy nights spent in the forest.
I like that can't have always been their original description.
Definitely
not. The last 2 lines, yeah, that sounds like it was from the original description. But definitely in like 2014 when people were like, okay, this is like kind of a fucked up word. They were like a whole group of people and like have much more to them than just like their nomadic lifestyle. There was definitely a PR moment where they went back and were like, we actually love the Romani people.
This is actually a scent that is meant to celebrate the Romani people.
Right, exactly. It's like a male-owned company selling like cunt water. And it's like, we just love women and their divine femininity so much.
I mean, it's like basically just using a slur in the name and then being like, and we love the people.
Yeah, it's like, well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
not.
Look, it smells really good.
It is a slapper. Byredo makes really good perfumes.
Yeah, they're very expensive though.
Yeah, I just got actually, so of those of you who might know, I used to work at a perfume store in high school, and I told Julia, you can get Gypsy Water on thefragrantshop.com, plugging my little family-owned North Carolina business.
And they basically recreate them, right?
Yeah, so they're I'm gonna get back into my fucking retail spiel that I had to memorize, but they're exact replicas of designer fragrances, but they're in an oil form, because if you don't know, if you buy a regular designer fragrance or any fragrance for that matter, and it's a spray, that's diluted with alcohol. And that's also what makes it, I don't know if you've ever been...
Sometimes they smell alcoholy.
No, yeah. And if you've ever been in a crowded elevator with somebody wearing heavy perfume and then the person leaves and the perfume stays, that's because it's the alcohol. But what's nice about the oils is that it's concentrated. You really don't need to use that much. And you take it with you. You don't leave clouds of shit everywhere.
You don't leave clouds of disgusting perfume. Some men are overdoing it.
It's true.
Cologne.
But I recently... stepped into the universe of alcohol perfumes because I'd sworn off of them for so long, so I was only using the oils. But I loved our Jo Malone line. Jo Malone is a great perfume stress, and I was in Sephora and I got a little Jo Malone, and I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah,
that's great.
Well, I feel like we should go back to the perfume store, honestly, because every time you go, they give you 2 free samples, and if I'm gonna spend
going in wigs and mustaches.
If I'm gonna spend $200 on a bottle of perfume, I want to make sure it's my scent.
Yes.
Hashtag my scent. Yeah, let me describe to you. I'm not good at describing smells.
It's hard. It's really hard.
But the Gypsy Water smell, it does smell a little citrusy. I don't like when fragrances are musky. I don't like when it smells an old woman.
Well, yeah, there's a dusty quality to a lot of florals and stuff. That's your Estee Lauders and your old grandma. You can smell the dust in the air. But actually the smell of musk, a true musk, is really nice. And there's musk in that Gypsy Water.
Interesting.
And that's what gives it kind of the warmer scent without it being sugary or sweet.
I guess that's the wrong. I don't like vanilla perfumes that smell like Bath and Body Works, and I don't like ones that smell like they smell cloudy.
Okay, wait. I saw a tweet the other day, and I feel like every girl falls into one of two categories. For the Bath and Body Works body sprays in middle school, were you a warm vanilla sugar girl, or were you a sweet pea girl?
Yes.
You were definitely a sweet pea girl.
I was a
sweet pea girl, down... to the nines.
I had the sweet
every day.
Pea.
I loved the sweet pea. And also justice for fucking, what is it, Beechwood Cotton or something, island. That
if
was
you
another
were
one.
A sweet vanilla girl or whatever, seek help.
I mean, respect for that. I mean, there are some girls who make smelling vanilla their whole thing, and it's kind of magical, but it's then they're the vanilla girl.
Yeah, then you smell like a bakery.
I always got the Moonlight Path scent, which I don't even think they make anymore, for from my grandma for Christmas literally every single year. And then I cleaned out my bathroom in eighth grade, and I found maybe 16 full-size lotion bottles of Moonlight Path, because it was every birthday, every Christmas, whatever. That's
wow.
That's Nana, that's your signature scent. But I'm a sweet pea girl.
You're a sweet pea girl. Yeah, I remember Victoria's Secret had those little sprays too. Mm-hmm. And one of them was Love Spell, and I was in seventh grade, I was using this.
I got Taylor Swift's Enchanted perfume.
Oh, me too.
Which is so good, actually.
I know,
liked
I still
it.
Have it at home.
Really? That's
yeah,
so
I still
funny.
Have it at my house. But another thing that's really been bothering me lately is that mosquitoes are in California, and they were never supposed to be here.
They should not be here.
They actually weren't until a couple years ago, and now they're here and they are fucking evil. They destroy me.
I hate so much.
I met this dude who had malaria twice.
Really?
He was low-key malaria is really bad. So
shocking to me. Well, wait, how did he get malaria here?
No. He grew up in Africa, and so he got malaria twice, and his dad was a doctor, and he was my dad was just it's not that bad. I was that's what happens when your parent is a doctor. They're just you're fine. He was I literally was I was throwing up for 3 weeks.
Oh my god.
Straight, couldn't even sleep. I had feet. People, he was Americans really underestimate how bad malaria is.
Yeah, wait, that's horrible. I mean, I knew it was bad, obviously, but I didn't know it was that
yeah, and
heinous.
He was taking the malaria pills too.
Damn, that's
so
crazy.
Even the pills, malaria can get you. And
malaria
let me just say, I have hated mosquitoes my whole life. Literally, what purpose do they bring?
I mean,
they
who
do
loves
nothing.
Mosquitoes?
Well, some people, mosquitoes don't bother them as much. I get destroyed by mosquitoes.
They love me. I don't know what it is about me. They love me too.
Yeah, they're obsessed.
I mean, I'm like thankful that I'm not in like the North Carolina summer, because literally they're so fucking bad. I remember in like elementary school, my parents like shipped me off to this day camp called Sisters of the Forest. Later, I got a babysitter who was my counselor at that camp, and then she got arrested on the way to babysit me because she was high and driving.
Queen.
Vibes. And queen. Vibes, queen, and slay.
You know what? I do not support driving under the influence, but sometimes if you're high, I feel like you could drive a little bit. If you're drunk, never drive.
Like, literally never.
But I feel like if you're like a little bit high.
But also, I said that all the time in high school, and like I remember so many times I'd like pull up into an intersection, I'd be like, oh, like I just like,
the thing, if you're high and you drive, is you just drive really slowly,
right? But also, like, I don't know. Yeah,
no,
just, you shouldn't
do anything and drive. Don't do anything and drive.
That's Benchtopia's official stance.
I'm just saying, if it comes down to one or the other, definitely it's better to smoke and drive than drink and
for
drive.
Sure. I mean, I used to be that person that said like, oh, I actually drive better when I'm high.
No,
which
that's
is, like, not true.
Not true. But the point is, don't do either.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I have a mosquito bite, and I just like, I just hate them so much. And I don't, I know that like people are like, I hate bees. And then it's like, well, bees like are important for the ecosystem. Right. But what do mosquitoes do?
Do they eat? What do they eat? It's just blood.
People.
Cannibals.
They're I don't know. Well, they just eat our blood, and they don't even die afterwards, which is so evil of them.
That is really evil. Well, it's like ticks too.
And they inject. Wait, can we talk about? Okay, this is gonna be like kind of like a problematic opinion.
Okay.
I don't know if chronic Lyme disease is real, and it kind of sounds fake to me.
I think chronic Lyme disease is actually really real, and I get why it sounds fake, but like I feel like I've known people in my life who like are taken out.
Well, people definitely, Lyme disease is totally real.
Yeah.
But like the idea that you can have like Lyme disease for like 20 years after you get stung by a tick, like there's no like scientific evidence of it.
Is that true?
Yeah, there's not. And like there's this whole thing on like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills where Yolanda Hadid was like, I have like chronic Lyme, and like it puts me in like, she convinced Gigi and Bella and Anwar that they both had chronic Lyme, even though they'd never been bit by a tick.
A Munchausen's
like
moment.
Yeah. And then Lisa Rinna was like, have you heard of Munchausen's? Like, I think you have it. Look, if you have chronic Lyme, like, I'm not like, it's not like my life's mission, but like there are a lot of things that like are kind of psychosomatic. Lyme disease is totally real. If you get bit by a tick, you can get Lyme disease. Like, I grew up in Connecticut. It's totally real. But like having the effects of Lyme disease last for years and years and years. And then there's these people on TikTok that are like, I get bees that sting me, and that helps my Lyme disease. And I'm just like,
that's kind of wild. I need to look in more into
there's
the Lyme disease discourse.
Doctors do not believe in chronic Lyme.
That's crazy. Oh, you know what I was thinking of though? I keep seeing all these videos of people with like long COVID.
That's real.
Like, no, I know it's real. But I was just thinking about like chronic illnesses and stuff, and people who like food still tastes like gasoline
that's
and sewage
so
to them.
So horrible.
So bad.
Yeah. That's so horrible.
That is like, I mean, that destroys like one of the most like innate human pleasures. Like even if I'm depressed as hell, like a burger is still gonna hit. But like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's
imagine
actually horrific.
Everything you eat tasting horrible.
Yeah, and I don't know. This is, I mean, it's interesting. Like, long COVID is totally real, and all the doctors have said that long COVID is super, super real. But, like, considering, like, coming up Fern, my queen, on TikTok, where somebody posted, this bitch has the worst takes of all time, but I'm obsessed with her. That's literally me. She's, like, has the worst takes.
We need
and
to interview
100%
her.
Wrong, but I'm obsessed with her, and I want to hang out with her.
But sometimes it's tea. Like, sometimes she does, or I think, like, she starts off at a good place and then kind of, like, veers off course.
Well, recently she posted that she's no longer wearing feet prisons, which are shoes. And she goes into Target not wearing shoes.
Got
and
it.
Because she says that she used to have really severe foot pain, and now she doesn't because she never wears shoes. And she's like, well, it's reconnecting with nature. And I'm like, yeah, but girl, like, this is what we kind of talked about in our last episode, this whole idea of like reconnecting with nature. Well, we live in a different world now, and like the tile of Target is not the same thing as like being on the grass.
Right, exactly.
Sorry if you guys can hear sirens in the background.
It's okay. We're in Los Angeles. Again, it's an immersive episode. It's a chatty episode. We're taking you back to the beginning.
We've done a couple immersive episodes
now. If you have logged on late to Benchtopia and you've only heard our like well-researched ones, you are in for a special.
This is just us being like, I don't think that, like, let's talk about things we don't think are real with no evidence. No, but actually, yeah, whatever. But her being like, she has all these things where she's like, doctors lie to you. And it's like, if you, like, I understand that, like, people in power will often lie to you and they don't want to tell you the truth. But like, I do trust doctors generally. They know more than me. And the whole idea of like question everything your doctor tells you. And that's why I was talking about with like the chronic Lyme thing. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I've had experiences and I know that doctors do not listen to people. And there's obviously so many things wrong with medicine. But like, I feel like if every doctor agrees that something isn't real, like maybe you should listen to them. Or if every doctor's like, you should get the vaccine, then like maybe you should listen to them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think she has some good points about like, you know, mothers being like pushed to like C-section and stuff.
Totally.
Like,
my mom always says that. She's like, the amount of unnecessary C-sections that women get is insane because doctors just want to go home at the end of the day.
Like, there's a point to which like, yes, it is very important to you, especially as a woman, to like advocate for yourself in medical spaces.
And like the disparity between how Black women and white women are treated and got, I mean, all of that is totally real. But her being like, I will always give birth on my toilet. If anything else, she now said that pregnancy tests aren't vegan. So the next time she gets pregnant, she'll just realize when the baby's kicking.
It doesn't even go in your body.
Well,
why does it? Oh my God.
She says that there's like animal fiber. She's insane. She's actually insane. She doesn't wear shoes. She said she's too old to have another baby. She's 22. Ooh. She was like, I wanted to have all my kids before the age of 20. And now I'm really upset.
What the hell?
She's unhinged.
That's insane.
There are lots of people on the internet that are unhinged. And like, I do think it's important to listen to not one singular doctor, get many opinions, but if the entire scientific community agrees on something, like I do kind of give them credit.
No, I get that.
For that.
Yeah. Should we move on to our mailbox and memes?
Yes, we should. Okay, so I'm going to read the first one and then Eliza will read the second one. And if we're feeling like it, we might do more.
Yeah.
Can you... This is sending me back to when we had really sensitive microphones and we first started recording in your room and we would have to stop every time a plane went by. A struggle. Okay. So this is an email called, I'm sorry, Julia, but I don't think men should drive. Do I have your attention now? Hi, Eliza. Hi, Julia. This is not clickbait. And yes, I have my reasons. First of all, I get the sentiment that women shouldn't drive. You're right. Okay, first of all, I didn't say women shouldn't drive. I just said women shouldn't have to drive.
Yeah.
I said men should have to drive women places.
By default.
Lucky. Y'all. All right, I'll just keep going. People are going to be like, stop doing immersive episodes. We
welcome to Los Angeles.
Okay. Lucky for me, I have mastered the art of reverse parking. Turns out the practice does make perfect. Who would have thought? Not me. Paul Rudd's look at us gif. Unfortunately for me, parallel parking, no thanks, should be illegal in my opinion. I agree.
I agree too.
The math doesn't add up. Also, not me watching the Formula One race with my family and saying I could beat them when I'm still afraid to change lanes. They really do hate to see a girl boss winning. I love when people see something and they're like, I could do that.
No, it's like I have this weird confidence I could beat anybody in a fight.
Really?
Yeah, like actually any person. Like, you know how like when moms like
Floyd Mayweather?
Yes. You know when moms like get into car crashes with their babies and then they like use their pure adrenaline to like lift the entire car off their baby?
Yeah.
That would be me in a life-threatening situation, methinks.
I saw this TikTok where it's like, have you seen that ballet that people are doing to Billie Eilish's song? And it's like they're spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning.
Oh yeah, it's like, and for some reason I think I could do that.
Yeah, literally me. I feel like I could do that.
I could spin around.
Okay, continuing. Now you may ask, Diana, if men shouldn't be allowed to drive and women shouldn't have to drive, then who's going to drive me around?
The non-binary people. Get a whole like Uber of they thems.
They them-ber. Here's my serious answer and also possible topic suggestion: public transit in walkable cities, and I guess in general urban planning. Now, I don't know if this is a topic that you would be interested to discuss, but I am obsessed with it. Copenhagen and Amsterdam cycling infrastructure, a freaking dream. Like, I also think that technology wise we are pretty well advanced so that we don't need to keep relying on cars. Just a thought. All I'm thinking about is Elon Musk's car just hitting go
the
pedestrian
Tesla.
Mode.
daughter mode.
Okay, she says, what was I saying? As everything nowadays, I got the idea from a TikTok. Well, not really, but yes, really. I saw a TikTok and it made me think, like, yes, cars are only for men's egos. And, like, unfortunately for me, for work-related stuff, a man-child has been driving me around. And, like, good for me that I don't have to worry about parking, but sometimes I do think I have to worry for my life. Right? It's not that bad, but it is annoying. Like, dude, why do you think that every person that cuts you off in traffic has a personal vendetta against you and you have to retake your honor? It's not that deep. People are assholes. Don't be one of them too. And it's like, it's all of them. And from the top of my head, I can only think of one exception of a man not being crazy like that when driving. It's one thing to curse because people drive like they are in GTA, but it's another thing to go chasing after someone that passes you in traffic because you want to win whatever game you made up in your head. Happy International Men's Day, sure, but King, please go to therapy. When women drive, I've never seen that type of behavior. And that made me think some more. And this is definitely me reaching, but it doesn't hurt to ask. Is it because we are used to people talking over us and so on? Like, why bother with some asshole that clearly doesn't know how to drive? There's literally worse things that could happen to us. Someone cutting us off in traffic is annoying, but nothing we will lose sleep over. Thoughts? Side note from the last episode, I'm not a scientist, but from the sustainability content that I read, and to my understanding, the point of the less harmful cleaning products is it's also to protect the environment, like the harsh chemicals from some products end up in the water system. I guess in some cases you need more harsh stuff to be able to properly clean, but if everyone is drowning their sink after they do their dishes with whatever is popular on TikTok, there's more harsh stuff in the water system. Because you know the water treatment plants most times don't do a good job, and when it goes back to the rivers or the oceans or even the land, it disrupts the natural environment and the animals and the plants and eventually humans too. It's microplastic cycle all over again. The microorganisms eat it, the little fishies, the bigger fishes, and then humans. Also, we drink microplastics in our day-to-day water. How crazy. Global warming. What a bitch, right? We're all gonna drown. Final note, I'm not going to apologize, but English is not my first language, so if anything sounds weird, that's why. Have a great week. And then she sent us this TikTok that said, cars only exist still because of the male gaze. Technology is definitely advanced enough for us to have replaced cars with a more efficient transportation system. But men need to have their custom car colors and tires so they can drive in circles going 100 miles per hour and make loud engine noises.
Wow. Queen, first of all, I already know you've been prescribed Adderall and don't take
it. Yeah. Honestly, I think she has been prescribed Adderall and she just
maybe
took
does
it.
Take it. Yeah.
I'm obsessed with when people write us like insanely long. No. That's not an invitation to write us an insanely long email. I like when people write us rambling emails like this.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it because that's exactly how we talk and that's exactly what this whole episode is. Okay, first thought is personally, Queen, I cannot relate to being a person who doesn't get road rage because I do. I literally will, like, if somebody cuts
me off.
I get
road rage too.
If somebody cuts me off in traffic, I will maneuver so that I can be next to them at the light, roll down my window, and flip them off. Like, one day I will encounter a scary man in a car who wants to, like, follow me and intimidate me, and it will be my fucking fault because I was, like, a smart ass. But, like, I flip people off in LA driving, like, maybe once every 2 days or something.
Really?
Like that. Oh my
God.
You
are kind of a chaotic driver.
I'm not. I've never been in a wreck. I'm a good driver. People are just idiots.
You do have like a giant skeleton in the back of your car.
Okay, and she keeps me safe.
Your car is a chaotic environment. I will tell
my car,
you that.
Yeah, my car is actually like a hazard to life.
No, I get road rage in that I like literally get so angry being in traffic, but I'm way too scared to ever yell at anybody else. Sometimes I've started honking sometimes. I like never used to honk and now I'm like, I'm going to start honking.
My classic is a long honk and a middle finger out the window.
Yeah, see, I don't want to get shot by somebody.
I know, like that's my fear too, but in the moment I just like something overtakes me. It's my masculine urge to flip somebody off in traffic.
Interesting. I mean, here's the thing. Love the idea of efficient transportation. In Los Angeles, doesn't work. The city is too large. It was a city built for cars. When you've built cities around cars, it's so difficult to have efficient public transportation. Like, you can tell that a city like London or a city like New York was built before the invention of the car because everything is close together and it has to be walkable. You can tell when a city was built after the invention of a car because you cannot get to a CVS without Ubering there.
Yeah, no, it's literally, it's insane. But also, like, I mean, Los Angeles also just doesn't invest in public transit, period. Like, I tried to take a bus, like, one time and it just, like, didn't come and, like, the schedule was weird and, like, yeah. It's just so hard. I mean, especially when you think about, like, a lot of, like, poor people live in Los Angeles because it, like, is really nice weather and, like, unhoused people are here. And it's, like, if you create some public transportation systems that are just fundamentally unusable, like, it just sucks all the way around.
I mean, the problem is that you would take a train from somewhere to somewhere else and then you would still have to drive to whatever place
right.
You're going to.
Exactly. And also there's this TikTok account called Pedestrian Dignity. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but basically this guy like walks around different cities and shows like how fucked up the sidewalks are and like how some sidewalks are like directly next to a highway and like how a lot of them don't have like ramps for wheelchairs and just like how impossible it is to be somebody without a car like in like even like a mid-sized city or like a suburb or something.
Totally. And they've shown that like actually the people who like make stop signs and like lights and decide where those go and decide where crosswalks go, like they're our biggest heroes because they literally can decide if somebody lives or dies. Like
yes.
They can really affect like if somebody is like gonna get hurt because they know like, okay, cars will tend to act this way in this intersection
right.
And they need to stop here. And it's like we shouldn't be worshiping the car in the way that we do in our society.
I agree. I agree. Yeah, public transport. Because also, I mean, it's like a pollution thing. It's a traffic thing. Do you know how much better LA traffic would be if we had like comprehensive public transit situations?
I heard at some point that like traffic is because people actually like speed up and then slow down. And if everybody was going at the same speed, there would never be traffic.
Like traffic would happen anyway, just because of like the way that cars move. But it would be like it would take you less time because there would be less cars. Like that would be something that would happen, I think.
We need... Thinking about Elon Musk building a tunnel underneath Los Angeles for like
that one
private
Tesla
cars to go in, and it's like, King, so just invent
stupid.
A bus.
Literally, just invent a bus.
Honestly, I believe that somebody could invent public transportation that would solve Los Angeles, and I think
I agree.
They should do it.
They should do it. We're waiting.
Also, in terms of the microplastics thing, I totally get that. There are microplastics in a lot of stuff. Like, I don't mean for our episode to be like, who gives a shit? Just buy everything. But like, I do think that there's too much focus on clean things when like actually a lot of clean beauty products don't even come in sustainable packaging.
Yeah.
But obviously we need to consider the environment. It's just, then again, it's kind of a scam to make people think that they're doing wrong things to the environment when there's three companies pumping gas into the atmosphere.
But definitely I will say like there are really easy switches that you can make, like in terms of like laundry and cleaning products. Like you can make a lot of them like in your house with like vinegar and baking soda, and they actually do like clean just as well, and they don't
vinegar
like,
is very powerful,
yeah, and they don't damage the environment as much, and like that's an easy thing that you can do. I recently got this is not an ad, although please sponsor us. Package Free Shop is a great place that I get all of my cleaning products and my like laundry detergent and stuff. And the laundry detergent is like the best I've ever used, and it's powder, and it's like it's like $12 for like 50 loads or something. It's crazy.
Totally. And I think it's good to focus on sustainable packaging, maybe instead of like analyzing every single ingredient that goes into something. I think that's more the point of our episode.
Totally.
That like you are as a normal person should not have to read every ingredient as if scientists are not looking over it. Like obviously there's reasons for people not to trust like all sorts of things, like the people have put shitty things in stuff. We weren't regulating chemicals until the 70s. Makes sense, but it's just take the middle road.
Yeah,
take the middle
bitches
road.
Bitches hate nuance.
And merch for that will be coming soon.
Yes,
by the way.
It will. I know you guys have been begging. It's coming. Okay, this, oh my god, I'm glad you picked this one because this email sent me. Okay. In all caps, this email is titled "I have something to say." Hello benches, I need to tell you about my odd unhinged dream last night I had. Eliza, you are in it. And I'm kind of mad at you, but not really. So to set the scene, I was out having dinner with my boyfriend of 3 years on a date. In real life, he's an absolute angel and can do no wrong. However, in this dream, while we were at dinner, he left to go to the restroom. For whatever reason, I decided to go through his phone. Obvious mistake. To my surprise, I found multiple messages that proved he was cheating on me with a woman named Eliza McLean.
Who could that be?
The weirdest part of this dream is that I broke down in tears, not because of his infidelity, but because this man had now ruined my favorite podcast. Like, obviously, I could never listen again after this. It's one thing to cheat on me, but it's another thing entirely to do it with someone I admire and have listened to for hours. You girlies have become such a source of comfort and laughs through this hellhole of late-stage capitalism. So for my boyfriend to ruin the one way I cope with this dystopian nightmare is sick and twisted, if you ask me. I remember yelling at him saying, "How the fuck could you cheat on me with one of the Binchtopia girls?" And he was like, "I'm sorry, she's just really funny." Like, what the fuck? This proves that even in dreams, men come up with the dumbest excuses. Like, of course she's funny, you asshole. Why do you think I listen to this podcast religiously? Anyway, I woke up deeply hurt at my boyfriend and explained to him that if he was ever to cheat on me, Eliza and Julia are very off limits. He assured me that he would never betray me like that regardless. But then again, he is a man. Eliza, you are absolutely a main character for showing up in my dream like this. And my therapist will be hearing all about you. With love and now slight jealousy, Sally.
I'm obsessed with that. Let me just say, club for girls who have constant dreams about their very sweet boyfriends cheating on them. I literally have dreams all the time, and I'll wake up and my boyfriend will be like, "What did I do in your dream?" Because like he literally, and here's the thing, I talked to my therapist about it, and she told me that like it's not that it's like a premonition or anything. It's just like that is the thing that you fear happening the most, is like losing somebody you love, or like if that's one of your big fears. So then it will come up in your dreams, even if it's not realistic at all that that person would behave that way. It's just like, what's the worst possible thing that like I could think of happening, and like let's throw that into my dream.
Right, your subconscious mind is like going along with it.
Going along with it.
Yeah. I'm really sorry. I would never do that to you, Queen.
I'm like, Eliza, why would you do that?
I know, I'm mad at myself. Why did I do that?
Why would you break up that? That actually would be so bad for our brand.
I know, that'd be horrendous for our brand if I cheated on somebody's on.
Well, you would cheat on your own boyfriend,
right?
Too.
Oh my god, all the way around, it would be bad.
Yeah,
yeah. What are the worst ways that our podcast could go up in flames? If one of us was like Elon Musk's granddaughter or something.
Yeah. If one of us, yeah. If one of us became the new Grimes, that wouldn't be great.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, that's very funny though. Thanks for emailing us that because. It's a little funny. I love that we're important enough to you guys to show up in your dreams.
I know that that's a big flattery for me, honestly.
A major flattery. This email is called Quenny P is quaking at my use of essential oils. Hi, besties. Something about listening to your podcast always unlocks memories for me. So here I am with another absolute slapper. When I was 18, I put tea tree oil on my vagina. There, I said it. Somewhere in my silly little rat brain, I convinced myself that my pussy smelled and the only viable option was to make homemade tea tree oil wipes. Can you imagine being in a college dorm bathroom fucking wiping tea tree oil on yourself so you wouldn't be self-conscious when your chaste boyfriend goes down on you? Yeah, I fucking did that. Anyways, Shan.
Oh my god. Well, I will say one time when I was like 13, I put Dr. Bronner's inside my vagina and I saw God.
Why would you do that?
It was the worst experience. Because you're like 13 and you think your like entire body is disgusting. And I didn't know that a vagina is a self-cleaning like organism yet. Yeah, and I put Dr. Bronner's literally in my pussy.
That sounds so bad.
And like my body took a screenshot. Like it was so horrible. I'm so sorry for you. That should have never happened to you.
This is what we're training the girlies to do. You think, well, it's just like a natural thing. It can't be that bad. And it is.
And
it's more concentrated than any. Where is the tea tree?
That's
have you ever
a great
seen
question.
A tea tree?
Yeah, like because tea is just like leaves that you steep and then suddenly it's tea. Like, what is a tea tree?
What is a tea tree? Much to consider.
Much to think. If you know what a tea tree is, please hit us in the email. Another thing I will say, and this is a little free teaser for the reading list because I'm putting it on the reading list, but I finally am reading Come As You Are by Emily Nagoski.
I haven't heard of that book.
Oh my god, it's amazing. You need to read it. Literally anybody with a vagina needs to read it. Honestly, anybody in the world.
Wait, I was going to say, I saw 3 movies in a row last week.
Wait, what'd you see?
I saw Last Night in Soho. I saw...
Wait, was that bad? The trailer looked really bad.
I actually need to spoil it for you. Like, okay. I need to talk about it. Last Night in Soho, and then I saw The Power of the Dog with Benedict Cumberbatch. And then I saw Come On, Come On, which was really good.
Interesting. I hadn't heard of those last two. Oh my god, I saw King Richard. Sorry, you go first.
Can I spoil Last Night in Soho?
Yeah,
for
please
you?
Do, because it looked horrendous.
Okay, so spoilers ahead. If you don't want to hear about this, skip forward like 7 minutes. Okay, so Last Night in Soho literally started out, I was like, this movie's gonna bang like so hard. Like, I, not because I've heard great things about it, but like as soon as I started watching it, I was like, okay, cool, there's like a girl and like the outfits are really cool. It's like 60s London. I didn't know that Soho was in London. I thought it was a New York movie. It was not. I was not aware that there was a Soho
and
in
our
London.
Queen's Gambit slay woman
Anya Taylor
Joy,
yes. And she's gorgeous. She's literally gorgeous. Okay, so the story is basically that there's this girl who like wants to go to fashion school, which is like a little stupid, but whatever. She goes to London.
No offense if you're in fashion.
No, it's
school.
Just like she's like, it's like a very typical like, right. I want to be a designer, yeah. Like kind of cliche. She goes to and also she like sees ghosts sometimes. That's like the intro.
Okay, love.
So then she goes to England and she like goes to her dorm and then she's like, actually the girls here are really mean to me, like they're mean to her because she's like from the country and they're like rude. And so she decides to live in this house that this old woman is renting out, and she's really happy because she doesn't have to be with those like bitch girls that were in her dorm. And then she has this dream and it's like she becomes like Anya Taylor-Joy, who's this woman that she doesn't know in her dream, and she's like, Anya Taylor-Joy wants to be a singer and she like wears really cool outfits and she's going to this club and it's like really, really beautifully done and the effects are awesome, and the fact that like she, like when she looks in the mirror she sees Anya Taylor-Joy, it's really, really cool, and the actresses are both really good. And so it's basically about like Anya Taylor-Joy wants to be a singer, and then this like handsome man picks her up and is like, I'll make you a singer. And then the girl wakes up and she's like, I can't wait to go to sleep again, like the next night to see what happens. And here's when it got good, was then the next night Anya Taylor-Joy gets a gig somewhere, and then it turns out that this guy is basically a pimp and like selling her into sex work. And it was really interesting because it kind of touched on this like, we have so much nostalgia about certain time periods, but what was it actually like for like women during that time period? And she's like totally like taken advantage of, and like so many women want to make it as a star, and then they like, some guy says that he's gonna help them make it and like totally takes advantage of them, and he basically
still happens today in all types of industries.
Totally happens. But considering like how I mean, women are still extremely vulnerable, but like back then, especially like if you're a woman alone in a city trying to make it big, every single movie star during that era was totally taken advantage of.
Right.
So then, and there's some really interesting scenes of like Anya Taylor-Joy, and you're kind of tricked by it because you as the viewer, like, wow, I kind of thought this was going to be a movie where like she's really, you know, successful.
Mm-hmm.
And then this girl becomes haunted by like Anya Taylor-Joy and like all these, the ghosts of like the men that she slept with. And it's really fascinating. And it's kind of just like Anya Taylor-Joy being tortured. But then literally, like, I watched it with my boyfriend and he was like, it is very rare that a movie could be made better just by cutting it off at a certain point.
Mm.
And it was like, the movie was so good. I was like, I don't understand what people are talking about. It's so good up until a certain point. And then they completely went back on like the feminist message and like the interesting message of like, of like, you know, women, like we romanticize the outfits of a certain time period, but like we don't realize what it was actually like for people in that time period. And then it turns out that like the woman who like rented her the apartment was actually Anya Taylor-Joy, and like she murdered every man that she slept with.
What?
And then it becomes like an Eileen Wuornos thing where it's like she ends up being the villain when like and also all the men were like faceless in her ghost because they were just like, she was like, I had to block them out to like,
right.
And it was really interesting. And then all the men have like faces at the end, and it's like, why are we pitying the men here that were like taking
But the story was still the same, that the guys all took advantage of her?
Yes, but like we had thought that Anya Taylor-Joy was murdered because this girl had a vision of her being murdered. It turned out she actually murdered every single man that she slept with, because we had thought that she was murdered by her pimp, and she was being haunted by the ghost of this woman who was murdered in her apartment. And then it was like, I actually murdered every man. And then the old woman like tries to burn down the house that she, it's like, it's so, and then at the end, literally it's so fucking stupid. She's like, I went back to fashion school and I made all my designs. And then like in the end, her like mom looks at her in the mirror and she's like, hey. And then at the very end, she looks in the mirror and Anya Taylor-Joy like winks at her and she's like, it was,
oh my God,
so
what?
Fucking stupid. And it was so cool up until that point.
Yeah.
Because the outfits were awesome. The music was awesome. The effects were awesome. I love Anya Taylor-Joy. And I think it's really interesting. It would have been so interesting to explore like a young person who romanticizes an era of history and goes to that place and is haunted by ghosts that are telling her that like this is not actually what it was like at all. And also this like woman that was taken advantage of. But then in the end, they make the woman the villain and they make us feel bad apparently for the men that like took advantage of her. It was written by a man, obviously.
Right.
And it was like so fucking disappointing. Like I audibly in the theater was like, what the fuck is happening?
That's very disappointing.
It's so disappointing. And they could have just cut it off earlier, and
you,
it would have
saved
been
money
good.
Could have saved time.
I know they spent
consulted a woman.
So much money on like these insane effects of like, it just turned into like Ryan Murphy vibes.
Oh,
you know, like Ryan Murphy is the peak example of like, King, you literally just pushed it too far. If you had just held back,
it
would have
been
so fucking good.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Anyway, if you're skipping forward, that is the end of me spoiling Last Night in Soho, but it was very disappointing.
I'm sorry about that. I've been seeing more movies recently. Like, maybe it's because I'm
too,
like, dating a film bro, and
same,
like, he's a person who likes to go see movies in theaters. But
I know,
also
I'm like,
it's like,
I saw these movies.
But also it's like a nice post-COVID thing. But I saw King Richard, which is that video about, or the movie about Venus and Serena Williams.
I wanted to see
and
that.
Their dad. And I told Seth, because when I saw Spencer, which was very good and I liked it, Kristen Stewart, Oscar nom incoming,
it was good,
it was really good.
Okay, I've heard mixed reviews on that too, but
yeah, some people didn't like it, but I did. But anyway, so when I went to see Spencer, I saw the trailer for King Richard and I cried at the trailer. So I was like,
God.
I mean listen,
you're off your birth control now.
I'm
right?
off my birth control. It's
I need to ask you,
it's
about
a young
that,
girl overcoming things. There are families involved, there's hard work involved, there is great success of epic proportions. The thing about that is I'm going to be crying. And
of
I
course.
Told that to Seth. I was like, first of all, any movie with like a family in it, I'm done. But I went to see it and I really liked it. I thought it was really well done. It seemed to do like, I mean, also Venus and Serena were like executive producers, which made
That's
me feel
cool.
good about seeing
yeah.
it, because it's like, okay, well, they have some say in it. So it's not just like, you know, somebody bought their life rights and is like doing bullshit with it. But I also just didn't know how fucking insane that story is. Like, it is so amazing what they have achieved. Like, from the beginning, their dad was like, these two are going to win Wimbledon. And, like, they fucking did.
Their dad was a tennis player, right?
Well, kind of. He was, like, a tennis player, like, kind of on the side. And, like, their mom was an athlete as well. But, like, they couldn't ever, like, afford to have somebody train them. So their dad would, like, make little videos of them and hand out brochures. And, like, walk up into these, like, nice country clubs where, like, everybody was, like, shitty to him and horrible, obviously. And, like, try to get somebody to coach them. And, like, after, like, so long of hustling, he, like, finally found somebody who would coach them. It was
crazy.
Were
they like the ones who were really interested in tennis at the beginning, or was he like, I want my daughters to be good at
tennis? I mean, that's what was interesting too, is they portrayed him as a really complex character. It wasn't like either this guy is like kind of maniacal and like has this, you know, dream for his daughters that he's pushing on them. And it wasn't just like, and he's the perfect dad and he does everything right. Like, it was a really good nuanced interpretation. Because there's a little bit of both. I mean, part of it, the thing that he keeps saying the whole time is like, we grew up in Compton. I don't want them to like, I want them to achieve really great things.
Yeah.
I know that there's like a lot of success in tennis. Like, also the other kids were like doing really well in school. Like, that was a thing. And the other thing that struck me about it is that he, the whole time, like basically the pipeline, as I understood by watching the movie, to get to like pro tennis is you play like juniors matches and stuff, but he always wanted them to focus on school first, like school and family. And he was like, we're not going to put them in these like mid-level matches. Like, when they're ready to go pro, they'll go pro, and before that, they're just going to practice.
That's actually so good, because I feel like so many children's love of sports is ruined by their parents putting them in like those small time competitions.
Well, and that's what he's talking about, because they're like the people who, and you, the kids who play the small competitions, like get really burnt out, and it's like a lot of pressure and it's a lot of stuff. And he was like always prioritizing like school and family, and there's time for you to be a kid. And there's also this like part of it where right before Venus plays, and it focused on Venus a lot, which like I didn't expect. I don't know too much about either of them, just that they're like the greatest tennis players in the world.
But I do, but think I knew, Serena's supposed to be like,
yeah, Serena's
star.
Like won like Wimbledon a bunch. I think that's her thing. But Venus was the one who like got big first, like before Serena. And right before she like plays this, she played like the best player in the world when she was like 14 years old.
Wow.
It's like this really insane match. And right the night before that, she gets an offer from Nike for like $3 million if she signs right now. And she doesn't do it. Like, she's the one who like makes a decision. She's like, I'm not going to do it. Like, I want them be able to like see what I can do. And I'm not going to take the first thing that comes through the door. Like, at 14, like that really shows like the values that were able to be instilled like by her family, by her parents. Also, there's a fantastic fucking scene about like domestic labor and emotional labor, because the mom talks to the dad because he's like saying some shit about how like, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me. Like, it was me hustling. It was me doing all the shit for the kids and the tennis and stuff. And she's like, who do you think kept the family afloat? Like, who do you think kept the house and like kept our kids in line and like paid attention to everything else so that you could do this? And it was like, that was a great scene, because up until then I felt like we kind of hadn't heard like enough from her. Like, I wanted to know like her side of things. And I thought that was like a super impactful scene. And of course I cried. Of course I cried.
Yeah, I would definitely cry.
The last 20 minutes of the movie, I cried. Like, as she was just like getting ready to like play this huge match. And I was like, she's so brave and she's so talented. And like, everything is working out for her and she deserves it. And then like at the, oh my God.
You have to see, come on. It might hit too close to home.
Maybe. But at the very, I'm literally tearing up thinking about it. At the very last scene, she like, she loses the match. But she like puts up a really good fight. I mean, I want to watch
14?
The original. Yeah, she's 14.
That's insane.
I know. I want to watch the original tape of it. And then she walks out and it's just like an audience of little girls like clapping for her and like waiting for her, and like little girls of color, and like, oh my God, it's just, oh, ah. Like, I literally, it's so sobbing.
I really want to see it.
Any story about like a little girl who overcomes, I'm like,
as she deserves. I know those movies. Really, I'm always like, ugh, I don't want to see it, 'cause I know it's going to make me cry.
And Will Smith was really good.
He's a great actor. He's really good.
And they played little, like clips from the end. Like, they really recreated some of the old like videos and stuff that he would take and that he would submit to like coaches and stuff, and they did a great job. And his accent was good, in my opinion.
Some people are saying his accent sucked.
Well, I thought it was okay. I guess I am probably not the person to ask about that.
Yeah,
but it didn't take me out of it, is what I will say.
That's amazing. I really want to see that. The Power of the Dog was Benedict Cumberbatch, and his American accent was not very good. As soon as I saw him, I was like, how am I supposed to focus on this movie?
Yeah, the only thing I know about him is that he's British. That would overtake my experience.
But it was a really good movie, and it was really beautifully shot. And the only thing that like I wasn't obsessed with was Benedict. I mean, he was great in it. He was really, really good. That movie was incredible. And Come On, Come On is, first of all, it was in black and white, which I was like, I already don't want, like, how pretentious are you that you're gonna make a movie in black and white in 2021. But Mike Mills directed it, and he did 20th Century Women. Which I didn't see, but
I haven't seen it either, but I heard it's very good.
Come on was so good. And the little boy, it's Joaquin Phoenix, who's like the uncle, and this little boy who's, and the mom is Gabby Hoffman, who's amazing from Transparent. She's great. And like, so she's the mom, his dad has bipolar disorder and is like having a mental breakdown, and so the mom has to go deal with the dad, and Joaquin Phoenix like watches the little boy, and their chemistry is just like amazing, and the little boy is British and his American accent is incredible. Like,
oh my god,
just so good. And it almost made me cry, because just it was just such a, it didn't feel like it was directed, like it felt like,
yeah,
like it was just very natural, and the little boy was just so cute and like so smart, and they just had a beautiful relationship together. And I know Joaquin Phoenix is insane, but like he's a really great actor, and he is able to show like a tenderness that I thought was really, really beautiful. Yeah. It's Oscar season. That's why so many movies are coming out right now.
I mean, damn, a story about like a small child and a single bipolar parent.
I know. That's why I'm like, goodbye. I feel like it might hit too close.
Goodbye. So
you would definitely. And it's off the ledge. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Going off the ledge.
Why do I like have the urge to like right after we finish recording, like go see that by myself?
You actually need, like it should win an Oscar. Like, it was so beautiful.
Whenever I'm about to see a movie that I know will like severely emotionally destroy me, like King Richard emotionally destroyed me, but that was like,
it
that
didn't
was
hit
so,
too close well, to home.
And that was acceptable to like cry about, because it's like, of course, like every, I mean, it is a tearjerker.
It
it's
is
like
meant to
an
be
amazing
a
story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's just like a rant, like I saw Eighth Grade by myself and I was like 16 years old, and I literally had to like put like stuff my hoodie in my mouth because I was like being embarrassing and like sobbing.
That SpongeBob pic where he has like a sock in his mouth.
Literally, that was me. And so if I go see that movie, I will have to just go by myself so I don't humiliate myself.
I would be really interested to hear your take on it. And we saw the director speak afterwards, and it was wonderful. And I was already, Lucas told me, he was like, I feel like if a movie's in black and white these days, like it has to earn the fact that it's in black and white, and it totally did.
Wow.
And it was just like such a, I don't know, it was beautiful. I'm not a movie critic, I can't speak about it as eloquently as I probably would like to, but Last Night in Soho sucked and this movie banged.
Yeah, and King Richard banged. That's our summary.
And Power of the Dog was really good. It was beautiful. It was all shot in New Zealand, but it's supposed to be in Montana.
Interesting.
It's kind of like dark-sided Brokeback Mountain. I mean, Brokeback Mountain is literally the most beautiful movie ever made. It is dark-sided in that it's very sad, but like this movie is just like weird.
Like kind of sinister.
It's just, there's a quietness to it that, and Benedict Cumberbatch is just, he's this like man with so much anger. Like he's so angry, and his character is just incredible. And Kirsten Dunst is in it. She's also great.
Slay.
She's like the drunk woman that like is drunk dealing with her problems. Like,
yeah,
it's so good. And you should, and everybody should watch it. And maybe we should have a Bingetopia movie club, and you guys should tell us what you think about
movies. We should start doing like Netflix parties or something. That
I'm obsessed with the AMC thing where Nicole Kidman comes in and she's like, movies hit different in a place like this.
Yeah, she's like, even sadness is beautiful in a place. Like, is Nicole Kidman like, does
she not
go
to AMC,
right? Like is she like, but I'm like, why would you admit? It was so funny because when we saw Spencer after that, everybody laughed. Like,
everybody cheered for Nicole Kidman, because it's like, also maybe switch out the commercial at this
right.
point.
Well, it's like, she does not need that check. Like, why is she humiliating herself like
and
that?
Also, she's in the movie by herself.
Yeah.
And then she keeps switching seats like in the theater. And then she's like watching Wonder Woman. Like, she's not watching movies that like really hit.
And she's doing like the Emily Mariko, like tiny bite of popcorn and then like a nod
and
a smile.
Her face is so airbrushed. It's insane.
Yeah,
it's
really
an insane
crazy
commercial. Even heartbreak feels wonderful in a place
literally.
This.
I will say that the one negative thing about movie theater experiences coming back, and maybe this is just a facet of like, you know, not being used to being in like crowded places still after COVID, is like my shooter anxiety is on 100. Also, oh my god, did I ever tell you about the like terrifying thing that happened to me?
No.
Oh,
I mean,
god.
I don't, you have to be more specific.
That's true. At this point, I start need to know. Last week, I opened for Jensen McRae at the Moroccan. Dream of my life. She's great. Love her. Listen to her music. Anyway, and after that, I can't ever eat before a show because I just like,
yeah,
I will throw up
sense
and vomit. So like after the show, I was literally about to pass out because I haven't eaten. So I was like, I told Kat, which is my friend, I was like, we need to go to In-N-Out stat. So we
that's
get to
a really
In-N-Out
good reward for after
it,
a show.
Oh yeah, it really, well, here's what happened.
Oh no.
We got to In-N-Out and we like sit down. And all of a sudden, like, this guy starts like yelling. And I, first of all, hate when men yell generally. I hate when men yell in public.
Be
I don't know that.
Quiet.
And he's like pushing some guy and moving erratically and reaching into his waistband. And he says, I have a knife and I'm going to stab people.
Well, I love how he's like, people, not just this dude. Yeah, I'm people. Just going to start stabbing people.
And, you know, not an exact transcript. Like, I was, you know, getting like vertigo vision because also I like still hadn't eaten. I was like delirious anyway. And I'm like so scared. And so I like, and definitely, I mean, there, like, everybody in there was like kind of chilling, but I ran out the door, like behind, like the other door behind
him. Other people weren't concerned that he said he was going to stab people.
I mean, people were just kind of like frozen, but obviously, like, I, like, in fight, flight, and freeze, I am the flight every single time.
Wait, where, so, what, which In-N-Out was this?
It's off Sunset, like near Highland.
Okay.
You know, like, what I'm talking about? Like, kind of like, it's in Hollywood.
Interesting. Well, Hollywood's kind of a chaotic place, so that makes sense.
That's true. But yeah, so I ran out, but then he ran out. What? So then I ran in.
Wait, what? How did there you not tell me about
separate
this?
Doors, separate doors. Well, I was okay. It was actually like severely traumatizing. Like, I ran back in and then he ran out, and then like people kind of like start going back to their things, but like, you know, we're not sure. He's like still in the parking lot, like still yelling and like acting crazy. And then I like, I'm like, I need to leave immediately because I'm like literally about to start having a fucking panic attack. And so I'm like by the door and I'm like asking, Kat's like, I'll wait for the food. And I'm like, what is wrong? Like, I didn't understand. Like, I felt crazy because I was like, why is nobody else reacting like
this?
The
way you said that line too, you were like, I'm going to stab people.
No. Yeah. Well, he was obviously yelling. So yeah. It was a different inflection, but you can imagine. Anyway, so then I went to the front door and I was like talking to like, there's no security at In-N-Out. So it's just like the In-N-Out employee, like the brave In-N-Out employee who like escorted this like man outside. And then I was like, I was like, is it safe for me to like walk to my car? And then this like Guido-esque man like was like, you're going to be fine, sweetheart. I'm going to walk you to your car. You're going to be fine. And he like walks me to my car as I'm like shivering. Like, thank you for that, man. And the other man is like in another car, like still in the parking lot. And I like tear out of there and I start immediately having the first panic attack I've had in like maybe 8 years.
Really?
Oh my God. It was debilitating. Like, I probably like shouldn't have been driving, but I just like called Kate and I was like, I'm like having like, I can't. I was not able to like form words. And then I met Kat back at my apartment. We ate our In-N-Out, but it was like that, like it was so scary. And like, I still like, we were like, Seth and I were going to get In-N-Out like a few nights ago. And I was like, I actually can't like,
wait, why were, I'm shocked that other people were not concerned.
I know. I mean, like, I was like, I need to run and like get out of here. I mean, I guess maybe that's just like, I don't know. People like have lived in LA longer than I have and like deal with these situations. Like, maybe it's just like a facet of like my privilege and shit. And I like overreacted, but also it's like,
no, I don't think you overreacted.
It's like a man says, I'm going to stab everybody in here. And I also just like didn't, you know, I have like gun trauma of my past. Like, this is going to be sort of an overshare, but I feel like it's like important to say like why I had my fucking panic attack. Cause a guy shot his wife like in my elementary school when I was younger.
What?
Yeah. When I was in like fifth grade.
Like, in your school?
He was in the carpool line right outside. So it was like directly outside and he shot her in the carpool line. And we were like locked down and like knew that somebody was shot, but like didn't know what was happening. It was like so scary.
The way that, like, unfortunately, so many children in America have shooter trauma.
Yeah, well, it's also just, like, we also had to have active shooter drills, like, all throughout school.
I saw this TikTok where it was, like, when the principal's banging on the door, like, trying to imitate. And it's, like, was anybody scared? Yeah, I was really scared.
Like,
why are you banging on the door trying to imitate? And she's, like, let me in. It's, like, why are you cosplaying a school shooter?
Literally. But I will share, like, a nice little thing that, like, I think shows my growth. And it's a good thing for my, like, little girlies in therapy, especially my little girlies. Who like to isolate themselves when they're having emotions, because I like got back to my apartment and I was like shattered, like I was just like not okay, and I was like not like I knew I was not okay because I opened the door and saw the cats and started crying. And I was like, I'm so happy to see you guys. And like usually my base instinct is to just like shelter myself and like not talk to anybody and like not do anything and just like wait for the emotions to pass and then like make a joke about it later. But I was like, I kind of feel like I can't do that. Like I can't, like I'm not functioning. So I like called Seth and he like drove over and just like held me for like 2 hours.
That's really sweet.
And it was really, and it shockingly, it made me feel better. Like I did not expect that to make me feel better. Like I thought that it was going to be like the worst thing in the world. Like somebody witnessing me having an emotion, but shockingly it helps.
That's beautiful.
And it was really great and I'm very grateful for him. Like it was and this is another like illustration of my like will to never burden anyone. He's like at a concert and I called him and he was like, hey, like I'm at a concert, what's up? I like tell him what happened. He's like, oh my god, like I'm leaving right now. And I was like, no, you can stay, like you finish that and then come here. And he was like, after you've told me this information, like I absolutely cannot, like I need to come immediately.
Is
now.
Anybody listening still worried about the dude that said he was gonna stab people? What happened to him?
I don't know, because I left and then I like left reality.
That always happens in the CBS in Hollywood. Somebody's really? Always acting like that. There's it's look, people in LA are insane. It's but well, if somebody was, I probably would, I mean, I don't know if I would run. I might be frozen, but I would be scared as fuck.
Yeah, it was so fucking scary.
I mean, but I guess like, it's like how realistically how many people can you stab that fast? Yeah.
But I was like, I don't know. But what was so funny is that there was this like little queen in an In-N-Out crown, like taking selfies, and then he like comes in and like says all the shit and she looks up like, oh, and she looks up at him, and then the minute he walks out, she goes back to taking selfies in the In-N-Out crowd.
The In-N-Out people are like, we've seen. They're honestly braver than the Marines.
Yeah, truly.
Wait.
Sorry to just, like, dump that in the middle of this, like, chatty, casual
no,
episode.
No, that's crazy.
But, yeah, I, like, can't believe I didn't tell you about that.
That's insane. I'm so... I just know I would have totally been scared out of my mind. Actually, why are people gaslighting you by not
that's
moving?
The thing. I was gaslighting myself. Like, the reason I haven't told you is because I was like, ah, oh, it's not that big of a deal. Like, if I present it, like, I had a panic attack after this, it, like, nobody will, like, think that this is, like, a normal reaction to have.
If you don't have a reaction to someone saying I'm going to stab everybody in here, yeah. then you need to work on that. Because yeah. that's crazy. And Kat wasn't scared.
I mean, she was definitely scared. Like, she like ran out with me because I was running. But then after the guy got escorted out, she was like, "I'm gonna stay and wait for the food."
Wait, was he like he was running after you, or he was just
no.
We're all running now.
No, I was the only person that ran in the whole place. It was me and Kat were the only ones because there was two doors, and he was closer to the entrance, and I was closer to like the side door.
Yeah.
So I ran out the side door, and then I came back in, and then when he ran out, I came back in. Yeah, it was like a whole thing.
I mean, look, it's always better to be safe than sorry. It's always better to run out than like risk, like, I don't know. I mean, yeah. Who knows? But like, I feel like if people are judging you, like they should be
like, I lived,
concerned.
Bitch.
Yeah, you live, bitch. That's
and I,
so
and I don't
scary.
Think any, because I was looking in the news to see if like anybody, got like if stabbed. Anything happened. Yeah, but nothing happened. So hopefully it was just like a one-off thing.
Did you see the knife?
No, but he just kept like, it was really, I mean, it was scary. It's just like somebody's reaching into their waistband and saying that they have a weapon.
And who knows if he has a gun.
Right? No, yeah. that was my fear. I thought he had a gun. And I was like, oh, I gotta get out right
yeah,
now.
That's really, really scary.
Yeah, it was quite terrifying. Again, sorry to slip that in. I'll have to like edit in like a trigger warning or something for that.
No, it's real. I mean, going to the movies too, you think about, I mean, in any public space, living in America, you have to be scared of that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and I think it's like, even like, I guess a knife is not as scary to people as someone having a gun. I guess people are like, well, he has a knife, what can he, how many people can he stab at once,
right? But it's like, maybe me.
Yeah, maybe I'm the one. Yeah. Like, yeah, that is fucking scary. And it is so upsetting that like the children of America bear the trauma of fucking Republicans not passing gun control.
I know. It's like, why should somebody be able to bring a gun like anywhere?
Literally, gun should have never been invented. Worst invention of all time.
Yeah, true.
And not even the military should have guns. I don't think we should have any militaries.
Because there should be no wars but the class war.
There should be no wars.
No
everybody
wars.
Just...
Everybody,
stop,
guys, stop. Guys. Babe, this isn't you. Babe, this isn't you. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me, U.S. government. This isn't you. This isn't you. Stop.
They're like, this is who we've always been.
Stop infiltrating in other people's governments.
Yeah.
You don't belong there.
I mean, the fact that you... I mean, yeah, it's everybody's already said it. The amount of hoops you have to jump through to get an abortion versus get a
right.
gun. It's crazy to me that we could just go get a gun.
Yeah.
And also that people grow up with guns. Did you grow up with guns in your house?
No, not in my house. My parents were like very anti-gun, but like my grandparents, I mean, they had like hunting rifles and stuff, but I didn't really know anybody who like carried a gun. I mean, there were like kids like in that I like went to school with that, like, not at school, obviously, but like, you know, in their free time would.
But like most gun deaths come from like people like making a mistake.
Yeah.
And like kids playing with a gun.
Oh,
like,
God, it's so scary.
It's so scary.
Yeah.
Well,
just another
fuck that
day
dude in the In-N-Out burger
in America.
Maybe you also were like not doing well because you hadn't eaten.
No,
that can
I
definitely
also,
impact you.
Yeah, and like I had a really like nerve-wracking show. Like, it was just like kind of like high emotions, and then like I
was it
eaten.
Good though?
Yeah, it was good. But the thing, though, is that, like, when I tour with Penelope, the crowd is all teenagers, and they're also nice to me, and they're also energetic.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, my God, you're the coolest person ever. And then I'm like, am I? Oh, my God. And then I, like, feel cool. And then I walked out to play before Jensen, and it was all, like, late 20s, early 30s.
Oh, that's stressful.
And suddenly I felt like a kid, like, pissing myself at Christmas. So I was like, oh, I need to, like, prove myself. So, like, it was nerve-wracking for that reason. But yeah. Also, I was just, like, very excited because I've, like, been a fan of Jensen's for a while.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But anyway, that was my tumultuous event last week.
Did anyone try the chicken? I thought the chicken was lovely.
Wait, what is that from?
It's from Rock, not Rock of Love, whatever. Those shows with Tiffany Pollard in them.
Oh my God. Yeah. Fuck.
And then there's that one
Kate
girl.
I used to watch this all the time.
There's this one girl that tries to cook chicken in the microwave. And
obsessed.
She's like, they all have to cook a chicken for, like, Flava Flav. And, like, whoever cooks, and she just, like, puts it in the microwave and it's, like, not cooked.
Queen, trying to poison him.
And then, like, one lady, like, everybody's eating the chicken. I think it's at least from that show. I don't know. But there's this one lady that's, like, did anybody, like, people are fighting. And she's like, did anyone try the chicken? I thought the chicken was lovely.
Also, guys, I agreed to cook a turkey for our Friendsgiving tomorrow. And I've never cooked a turkey in my life before.
Obsessed.
So if you have any advice, let me know.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, this will be published after that happens. So wish me luck in hindsight.
Just put it in the microwave.
Yeah, exactly. Remember when that meme was going around where people would, like, text their parents and be like, how long do I microwave a turkey for? Like, if I'm going to cook it.
No, but that makes sense.
Yeah. My dad was like, don't you have Google? Like, what are you doing?
Your dad was like, never text me about
never
this again.
Text, yeah, exactly.
That one girl opening the can of beans and her dad just, like, wouldn't teach
her. Oh my
her.
God. Bean dad. Yeah. If you want to hear some bean dad discourse, that's way back in the Binchtopia
Discord.
That's
way back. It's way back.
Yeah. Guys, we're coming up on our 1 year anniversary.
We really are. We've been recording for an hour and 1 minute. I'm trying to think of a positive way. We already talked about Kim Kardashian dating Pete Davidson.
Yeah,
right?
Unfortunate.
There's nothing. They got their BBLs reduced.
What?
Did you see that? The Kardashians got their BBLs reduced. The BBL era is over.
Wait, what do you mean?
They got them reduced.
Did, like, they announce that?
No, you can just tell because you remember how they used to look like they were wearing diapers?
Yeah.
They just don't look like that anymore.
Wait, show me a picture.
Okay, let me see if I can... Well, like, this is what her butt used to look like, and it doesn't look like that anymore. Like, that one where
oh
she looks
God,
like
yeah,
an
that's
ant,
ridiculous.
And she just doesn't look like that anymore. They got, oh, yeah, I think this is where, no.
There's, like, a paparazzi photo with her and Pete Davidson. She looks, like, normal.
There's a lot of stuff about it on TikTok, but they, because, like, this is what her hips looked like. She looked insane.
Yeah.
And I think they realized that they looked like caricatures or... Maybe other people were
or they're trying to, like, move the trend.
Yeah. Or other people were getting too many BBLs. Another interesting thing I saw somebody talking about is that now that Kim Kardashian is dating, like, a white man and she's, like, done with profiting off of black culture. She's like, I don't need this body anymore.
Damn.
I mean, I have no idea, but.
Wait, that's crazy. No, because that connects.
I know. It's, like, super. I mean, the way that you, like, have killed millions of women by making them go get BBLs and then you're like, LOL, getting mine reversed.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's horrible. I mean,
the Kardashian curse is real.
The Kardashians are...
That's what they say about, like, the men that come into the Kardashian family. They just, like, come out way worse than they were
Wait,
before.
Wait, speaking of the men in the Kardashian family, the other day, Lucas asked me and Allegra, my friend, if we could name 20 basketball players. Like, it was like the boys were like, can you name 20 basketball players?
No.
And we, like, immediately ran out as soon as we named all the Kardashian and we were like, Lamar Odom, Chris Humphries, Devin.
End of list.
Yeah, we were just naming all of them, and it was such a struggle. And we finally named 20 and we were like, our minds. But then we asked them to name 20 housewives and they couldn't even name a single one, which is misogyny.
Wow. I don't think I could name a single one.
You could. I just named two of them at the beginning of this episode
and I forgot their names.
One of them is a Hadid.
Oh, Yolanda Hadid.
Yolanda. And Lisa Rinna was like, you have Munchausen's, girl.
Obsessed with that.
Bringing it all the way back full circle. Anyway, the other movie, have you seen that? When you were seeing the movies, did you see the preview for that movie Wolf that has Lily Rose Depp in it and it's about, like, species dysphoria?
No.
It's insane. It's
species dysphoria?
Yeah, it's like Lily Rose Depp,
like,
and she's
otherkin,
like,
tease?
Yes. And there's a dude and, like, they fall in love and they're like, we're both wolves, but then they're, like, in an institution, they're like, you can't be a wolf anymore. And then they're like, get up, like, you can't walk on four legs, like, stop eating grass. It's just like,
so apparently Lily Rose Depp needs some coin too. She should just, like, be in a beautiful French movie where she doesn't have to speak.
I know. Maybe you don't need to speak, Lily Rose Depp.
Or you don't need to speak about being a wolf on the inside.
Like,
Like, goddamn, the Republicans already think we're fucking batshit for, like, trying to be, like, non-binary people are, like, real and normal. Like, let's not bring the fucking wolfkin into the conversation.
But now this year there's been pig, lamb,
yeah,
wolf. What up? There's been, like, a bunch of movies that are just one word.
Yeah, what is it about the animals? What is happening in the collective consciousness that we're feeling the need to revert into human-animal hybrids?
I don't know. There's something feral in the air. Something feral in the air.
40 to 50 feral hogs.
Anyway... yeah, the feral hogs. But let's end this episode with, it's Thanksgiving this week. What are you most looking forward to eating?
Ooh. Well, the thing is, I'm going to see Seth's family in Seattle, and his mom is like the best cook in the entire world.
Is she?
So yeah, I know I'm going to have some good eats, but I feel like she's not going to make the, like, okay, because I always like the sweet potato casserole with the little marshmallows on top.
Interesting.
But I feel like that's not, like, highbrow.
You should make it
food.
Then
maybe I will make it. Yeah, well, I'm excited to make the turkey for Thanksgiving. I'm like really gonna try hard and like make it well. I'm like, I literally devoted an entire day to it, and I'm doing it at Seth's house because my kitchen is too small.
You're gonna make it for Friendsgiving.
For Friendsgiving,
maybe I'll make some mac and cheese because I really want to make mac and cheese.
Yeah, you totally
and I
should.
Feel like mac and cheese is usually a Thanksgiving dish, but like I've never made it before for Thanksgiving.
Mac and cheese is very
or
solid.
Matched potatoes. I love pecan pie. I am obsessed.
Never experienced.
Oh, because you're allergic to nuts. Are you allergic to pecans?
We like couldn't afford allergy testing, so I don't know. That's like actually been on my list of like, what am I allergic to?
Eliza's allergy testing is just trying it and going into
literally
anaphylaxis.
Yes, that's what it was.
Well, I am not like a huge fan of nuts. Like, I think that a lot of times nuts ruin whatever they're in. Like, for example, banana bread. Why would you put a walnut in there?
Agree. It ruins it for me
it
as well.
It ruins the texture. Like, but a pecan is just like, a candied pecan is just so delicious. There's something so rich about it. And every year when we used to have Thanksgiving on the East Coast, we would have this delicious pie that was chocolate bourbon pecan.
Ooh.
And it was literally like, I almost threw up one time because like I ate like half of the like, it's not really,
you don't almost,
if you're
up,
not like,
yeah,
in the bathroom praying for your life.
Yeah,
but like the chocolate bourbon pecan, and I think I'm gonna try to make one for Thanksgiving because
you should.
There's a place that like made them and they were so good, but they're on the East Coast.
Wait,
so
you should make that for Friendsgiving because I don't think we have a dessert yet.
Do you not have a dessert? Maybe
no.
I'll make a pie.
Yeah, but maybe not the pecan because I want
to. No,
eat
I'll,
it.
Maybe I'll make a pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I will say also a well done pumpkin pie and a well done apple pie. Oh my God.
With some fresh ice cream?
Yeah, literally life-changing.
Life-changing. We should go to House of Pies.
Yeah, wait,
they have
I
a really good
it.
Pecan pie.
Okay, love.
I think that maybe pies are coming back because, you know, we had that whole like frozen yogurt trend.
Yeah.
We had Froyo. Then there was like Cronuts.
Yeah. I think we should bring back the pie.
I think we should just bring back pie.
A solid believer in pie over cake.
Okay.
I don't like
here's
cake.
The thing. It depends because when Betty Crocker makes a cake, she puts her whole pussy into that. And like, I love a Betty Crocker yellow cake with the Betty Crocker chocolate frosting. I don't think that most cakes made by bakeries are that good because I don't like the frosting. It's way too sweet and they put way too much of it.
No, the sweet frosting is literally a crime, but a good buttercream where it's more creamy than it is sweet. Oh my God.
I just don't like the way that most like fancy bakeries make frosting. I don't
agree.
Know if like Betty Crocker just puts high fructose corn syrup in it or whatever probs. But I think I like cake more because sometimes when fruit is in dessert, I'm like, don't need. But like, oh my God, a great apple pie or like a great pumpkin pie, a great pecan pie, all of that.
When it's warm and you put the ice cream on it, and the ice cream is like little melty.
And it melts.
Oh my God.
You need ice cream and pie have to go together.
They have to. It's like, I won't like, for my optimal pie experience, I need the little ice cream on the top.
Wait, speaking of pie, have you seen Waitress, the movie?
No, but wasn't it a musical?
It was a musical, but it was first a movie, and it is such a good movie.
Really?
I watched it with Lucas. He fell asleep, which was sexist of him. It's, what's her name? Carrie, the lady from The Americans.
Oh, I don't
She's
know.
She's great, but she is this woman who's in like an abusive relationship, and like she makes these pies to like cope, and she like is dissociating, and she's like, I want to kill my husband pie, and like she makes all these pies, and it's like a really, really cute movie. And then eventually she like leaves the man and like she opens her own pie shop, and it's like really cute. And that's the last time I had pie because you can't watch the movie Waitress
and then
without
not have pie
getting pie.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Anyway, we hope you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving full of pie.
Yes, have a very, 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 very lovely Thanksgiving. And fuck Christopher Columbus.
Fuck Christopher Columbus. I only celebrate Thanksgiving for the food.
Yeah, and the family. The food and the family.
The food and the family, those are good values.
I don't give a fuck about the country.
No, and I don't think most people do.
I will serve crack before I serve this country.
But what was I going to say about... I was going to say something. Do people... No, people in England don't celebrate Thanksgiving. Our international followers will not be celebrating Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but it's always a good excuse to eat pie. So if you need one.
You guys should just have a hot, like, it should just be called, like, pie holiday.
Yeah, agree.
And here's what I was going to say. I do think, hate capitalism, but I do think I will be doing some Black Friday shopping because I need the
deals.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, I actually need to, like, I love a deal.
I know. Well, the thing is, I've been like stockpiling a list of like things that I need. Like I've been diluting my like Glossier body wash, which unfortunately I do use it because it is very good.
Is it?
With like water. Yeah, dude, they're like oil body wash. It's like oil to suds and they have an exfoliating bar that's really good.
Nice.
And that I enjoy. But yeah, I already know Glossier is going to be having a major sale. So I will be hitting that. I need to get like a blender. I need like I'm going to get a vacuum, like things
Ooh,
like that.
Wait, I want to get one of those Dyson vacuums.
Oh my God, I want one so bad.
Are they good? I've heard that they're iffy, but
well,
I want
I've
one.
Heard that most like the power on them doesn't last. Like you can vacuum for like 20 minutes.
We need
then...
to make an Amazon wish list.
Literally.
And it should just be, honestly, it should be books.
I agree.
And people should get us books.
People should get us books and we'll read them on the reading list and then we'll put them on there.
And then we'll put them on there. We'll tell you if they're good or not.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to thank our beautiful godly wives who we hope have a delicious and wonderful Thanksgiving.
And I am thankful for all of you.
I'm majorly thankful for our godly wives.
Mage grateful. And so many thanks to Tess Williams, Nicole Pearl, Ruth Curry, Liliana Grassi, Kinsey Williamson, Catherine Noble, Summer, Anna Hayslip, Tiffany Enderby, Layla Elgasab, Hannah James, Caledonia Strillo, and Katie Mansky.
We are so grateful for you guys, and we are grateful for all our listeners. Thank you guys for making this such a wonderful year, almost a year
yeah.
of listening. Aww. And even though Thanksgiving is stupid in terms of where it originally came from, we are thankful and grateful for you, and you guys are our Binchtopia family.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the best job in the entire world. I love it so much, and I love you so much.
We're obsessed. Binchtopia Hive, rise up.
Yes! Okay, love you.
Love you.
Bye.
We hope you enjoy your stay.